Welcome to the Scottish Watches podcast. The band's all here, we got the band back together, and a bit like the Beatles, we've changed the drummer.
Already.
How's everybody doing? Let's go round the room. We'll start in America with Catelyn. Long time no speak. How are we getting on?
I am doing very well. How are you guys?
Doing well. And not so far away. I wonder actually who's closer, Adrian or Dave? We'll go with Adrian. How's Adrian getting on?
Adrian's good. I'm not going to talk in the first person rather. Good. Happy. Sweaty. You don't need to know that, but I'm good. Yeah.
That's nice.
That's a lot of detail. Okay. A lot.
Moving across to Dave.
Dave's still alive. I'm here. I'm pretending to be positive. All's good. World's amazing. Brilliant. Love it.
Well, there is one person missing. Do you want to tell us why somebody's missing, Catelyn?
Because we're recording this at 1 p.m. on a Friday for Nashville time. So Kat had to hop into a meeting and could not make it today. But she sends her love to everybody.
Of course she does.
I know, yeah, the worst.
Just
the
rude.
Worst.
I mean, it's not like we organized this 2 weeks in advance and confirmed
we
multiple times during the week.
We organized it for you guys. Conveniently, it's 7 p.m. on a Friday. So like y'all are all good. You don't have any responsibilities. The only thing Dave's worried about is when his dinner is going to show up. Like for us, this is my lunch break. So
listen, Catelyn, you've got a cushy new little number. We know that you don't do any work.
Oh yeah, I do nothing at all. What
it's
are you talking about?
Just wrist shots of Norcane watches on Instagram, that's about it.
Yeah, working so hard.
That's a busy week.
It's a busy week.
I only manage one of those a week too, so.
Man. Well, let's go around the room and find out what everybody's been up to. And Catelyn, it's probably the most amount of time in between you've been on the show and just now, so you can tell us what's been going on in your life. And there has been a lot going on in your life.
There has been. As you mentioned, I have a cushy new job where apparently I don't do anything yet, but
But like your old job.
Basically.
Does anybody know what your old job is? Have you told the world what you used to do?
I can probably say it now. So because now I don't have to worry about people showing up at my job. So like I used to work for Omega. I've talked about working in watches quite a bit over the years. So I worked for the Omega Boutique there in Nashville. And then in November, I, of course, through the podcast, we've been really great friends with a brand called Norcane for the last couple of years. And in November, I took a position with Norcane. So my official job title is retail accounts coordinator, but I do a little bit of everything. I do a lot of work on the marketing side of things, which is a lot of fun and really interesting, as well as on the sales side and with retailers. So it's been a lot of fun. I'm probably the most annoying person if you talk to me about my job, because I, contrary to Dave's depression earlier, like I'm happy and I just like absolutely love everything in life right now because I have this amazing job. So yeah. Life is good.
Okay.
Do you like how there's that Bargain Jack coffee cup right in screen that he could have used as a glass?
Well, yeah, but it's got cold coffee in it. I don't think whiskey and cold coffee goes.
Where can people find those coffee mugs? They look amazing.
BarkinJack.com.
eBay. Pre-owned.
Premium. Oh, no, these are from Poland. Let's talk about whiskey.
Let's talk about having the microphone back in the right position again, Adrian.
I've been recording all day. This is literally like my fourth or fifth hour of recording.
Is everybody drinking alcohol? Ricky, no. Are you drinking?
Oh, okay. No, this is Iron Brew.
He's my sober friend.
Is that actually Iron Brew? Yeah.
This is the most Scottish podcast ever. Iron Brew and whiskey.
Drunk that.
Yeah.
Man.
Is it not just chemicals?
Isn't everything?
Says the man drinking whiskey.
Yeah, but at least. Shut.
Yeah, but at least. That was the end of the. End of argument.
We found out what Catelyn's been up to. Adrian, bring us up to speed on what you've been up to. What antics have you been fulfilling your day-to-day duties with?
Not much. Planning. I think that's my main thing is planning. I had a really bad start. I had COVID at the start of the year. So I kind of feel like my year's just been drawn on. And planning. I've got some cool project. I don't want to be that prick that says I've got things in the pipeline but can't tell you. But there's cool stuff happening.
Watch this space.
Yeah, indeed. But basically, my whole point of moving out of London was so I can travel and spend money on traveling and do adventurous stuff. And I've done none of that yet. So this year is my year for getting out. I did something useful today. I renewed my passport because trying to book flights to go to Watches and Wonders and realized I have 3 weeks left on my passport. Isn't really good enough. Yeah. So I actually had a really good experience. Probably the best customer experience I've had in a very long time was renewing my passport. Weirdly, the chat was really nice. Very helpful.
I feel like that has to say something about the level of customer service you get in Scotland, that renewing your passport is the best service you got.
On the basis you're meant to renew your passport through the passport office, the most unfriendly department of the government known to like entire humanity, I think you've probably just given your money to somebody and you're not going to see a passport.
Yeah. I've paid 180 quid to someone on Gumtree.
was the website sendmeanewpassport.au.com.uk?
I thought it was a bit weird when there was such high security, but everyone was so chilled out about the security. Hand over your bag and your wallet. We'll hold on to this for you.
Well, I suppose the passport people have had a quiet time over the past couple of years, so they're kind of excited to see people coming in.
Yeah, true. But yeah, lots of plans happening. That's the thing that's been going on, planning.
Dave, what have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Been working, been planning as well. Planning for, as we know, we've got shows coming up. I have booked some venues for Red Bar. I've been trying to find a new venue for London because our convenient London venue decided to convert the space that we were using into their new offices, which was really just kind of good of them. Yeah, outrageous, you know. I mean, imagine doing something with your own product. It's just rude. So I've been looking for a new venue, which I think I've got something nailed up. So that's pretty good. And planning a little trip down to London in a couple of weeks because I'm going down to catch up with some friends and to do some shit, basically. So that should be good. Other than that, not a whole lot since we last spoke, which wasn't that long ago. What about you, Ricky? Have you been up to anything of any, you know, merit or anything of any use to humanity?
Absolutely nothing.
Excellent.
Disappointing you in the bedroom perpetually.
I mean, you know, the good thing is it's a short month, so like it'll tick over to the first before we know it. Yeah. We start all over again.
I'm trying to think what actually I've been up to. There's quite a lot of watches have come in to get pictures done, and we've had some good feedback on some episodes that have gone out. The most recent one we recorded was with the Alliance, and that had a massive, massive amount of downloads, lots of people getting in touch, and all the brands that we mentioned, we've got to learn this trick, all the brands we mentioned in the show reshared the episode. So at the end of every show, we're just going to read out a big list of everybody. There's 67 of them in the Alliance. I think we can get some good traction from all that. But apart from that, all is good, and we should probably do the wrist check because Mizzy L isn't on this show, but he is listening. And Catelyn, you can go first. As if I can't imagine what you're going to tell us you're wearing.
Oh. That's a nice Omega.
No. I have my my Norcane GMT on, so the Freedom 60.
That is
GMT.
A lie. That is not a Norcane.
What? That's a definitely. Daniel Wellington.
It's a spell that I already sold.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a really funny spell. I didn't know Norcane began with an O.
No, shut up, y'all. Well, I'm dealing with, you know, how to figure out this whole time zone difference since it's nighttime for you guys and mid-afternoon for me, so I needed the GMT.
All right, give us the rundown on the spec of that one.
For real?
Should we maybe get an employee that knows what the fuck's going on?
I was
going
to say, and for your information, Galen, this is what work is called. This is work. Please tell us about the watch. I only take pictures.
So 40mm case. I like it because it actually wears really big, though. So you have the GMT functionality. You have like the Pepsi inner rotating, like, or not rotating, but the inside of the dial has a Pepsi color for the GMT function. And it features the Kinesi movement. So for me, when I started with Norcane, obviously, like, I have access to all the watches. I could wear whatever I wanted, but I felt like it was really important to own a watch from the brand, not just wear it because I can, but to own it. So I wanted something with the newest movements that they have. So the Kinesi movements are really great calibers, obviously. Tudor, Breitling, Chanel use them. So it's just been really great. I really do enjoy this watch. I love the little bit of the pop of color, and the Opaline dial is really pretty. So yeah.
Fortis use them as well, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just training you up a little bit there so you know what you're talking about.
I know these things. Thank you.
Do you? Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah. Like a little mini concussion from hitting my head on the wall.
That's not getting cut out.
No, that stays on.
They probably heard it.
Hopefully that donking noise came through the recording as well. So that Kinesi Movement GMT, is that the one that's in the Tudor GMT?
It is the one that's in the Tudor GMT, yes. Yep.
Does the date function work on your ones?
The date function works amazingly well. So realistically, I mean, you don't even hear of the newer GMTs having that issue. So I'm sure it's an issue that was fixed once it was brought to Kinesi's attention. So
I think people stopped buying it.
Do they? Is that what it is?
I've not seen anyone post a new wristwatch at that watch in years.
Really?
Yeah, I think the Tudor GMT seemed to make a big splash and then kind of went quiet, didn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
But realistically, don't most Tudors do that? Like, I remember, I mean, when the Black Bay Blue came out, everybody got it all at once. And then, like, now the only, I don't see anybody post it as like a new watch alert. Everybody just already bought it and just is posting the same pictures.
Is that because the watch community is turning into a fashion type accessory community where people like to post the new shiny and, hey, I got a new sub, isn't quite as much to shout about as it used to be?
It's very mainstream. Did you know Bob's Watches does commercials for television now? Like TV commercials. I was at a bar the other night and the Golf Channel was on. Which is the worst thing to put on at a bar, but whatever, that's a whole other topic. But there's a commercial for Bob's Watches just right there. And I was very, you know, when people want to say that watches are, they're not niche anymore. Like they're so popular. They're so, you know, they're so saturated at this point. So yeah, they're mainstream. We're no longer the cool kids. We're the cool kids. We're no longer like the nerdy, weird kids who like post watches all the time in secret.
No, it's all out in public. Dave, what are you wearing?
I'm wearing a Grand Seiko.
Of course.
I am wearing a hand wind spring drive, which is slightly unusual. The number of that being the SBGK005, which is the one with the blue lacquer Mount Iwate dial.
Oh, cool.
Which is one that I particularly like. Of course, it's limited edition because it's a Grand Seiko. It's a 39mm case, 11mm thick. It's a hand wind spring drive. The only annoyance with this watch, I actually love this watch, and the power reserve on the dial does not bother me like it will probably bother Ricky, particularly this one, because it balances out really easily with the sub-second that's running at 9 o'clock as well. So it kind of gives the dial a bit of balance. The only thing that annoys me is it's a display case back with a lovely decorated movement. But of course, being Grand Seiko, they have had to put a big blue Grand Seiko logo right in the middle of the glass, which is my one frustration with so many Grand Seikos. And it shouldn't bother me because it's on the case back. It bothers me just as much as why Tudor have put a display case back on the silver 92 or the 925 silver, you know, Black Bay, the whatever 58. Mm. It's just like, why? Just why? I mean, the only reason I can come up with is because it saved them money on the amount of silver they had to use. But, you know, it just seems pointless to me. But the blue dial and that. But other than that, it's great. The only other thing of this watch that actually just, it goes from I quite like it to irking me is it is an alligator strap and it's blue, but it is a kind of glossy blue, like a shiny blue, which sometimes doesn't bother me, but other times really upsets me and annoys me. I'm not a big fan of those kind of high gloss straps on it, but I've yet to find another strap, even from Hermes, that kind of goes with the watch. So that is what I am wearing.
Well, you mentioned there about... Adrian, oh, well, I'll get to that in a minute. So you mentioned the thing on the back there that destroys the see-through case back. And I agree with you on that. And it's very difficult to do it properly. The Norcane that we got to see over at Dubai Watch Week has done it right. The way that they've got the display case back and then it's got an emblem on it. I think it's a sports one.
The NHLPA, the limited edition, yeah. It's very, I feel like it's a little bit more subtle, but, and it's just one watch that has that. But I kind of agree. I think if you're going to have an exhibition case back, the whole point of having the exhibition case back is so that you can see the movement. And when you have that big Grand Seiko logo, you can't see shit, really.
I think even there's a few of the watches where they've done something on the display case back that I think has a purpose. Like the Godzilla for me is a prime example. There's quite a cool print of the Godzilla print on the case back, but you've then got this display case back with a really nicely decorated movement behind it, but it's almost, you can't see either. You can't see the movement particularly well, and you can't really see the kind of print or whatever on it particularly well.
Display case back with a little graphic on it. It just kind of reminds me of the certain Grand Seikos of buying a really nice luxury car and then the dealership puts a really shitty sticker on the back window.
Oh, I hate that. That really pisses me off. The big old yellow Arnold Clark shitty thing on the back of one of these cars. Like,
yep.
Oh, are you going to give me money off for advertising your company for free?
Take it off.
But it looks, you know, it's so cheeky and it just looks shit. It's, it pisses me off.
But you see, the only thing that's worse than that though is that at least, you know, quality car retailers have a cling that goes on the inside that clings to the glass, whereas the Arnold Clark one is a proper piece of heavy-duty yellow vinyl that they put on the outside that no one removes, and then the car gets to about 2 years old and it says, Clark, because the rear wiper has wiped half the sticker off because it's been put right in the middle of the screen so that everyone driving behind you can see it. It's just, yeah, it's horrific.
That's a crap.
Wow. Although, talking of things that Urquhart's, like putting logos on case backs, what's this thing with more and more brands now deciding to put either their logo or a little kind of embossment on the leather on the straps? Why?
I knew you were going to go there.
Why? Absolutely horrific.
I love my Maurice Lacroix.
Oh, do you know what? That's a great watch, and then the integrated bracelet's great, and the rubber strap itself's great. Why, oh why, oh why do they have to put that little metal logo on the rubber strap? And I've also seen plenty of other brands who've got, you know, the logo that's been kind of branded into the leather strap just at that point in the leather strap where everyone can see it. Just
because
drives me insane.
Watches are mainstream, and it's like having a designer bag. Like, if you don't have the logo saved all over it, does anybody else know what it is? Oh, I agree. I like very discreet things, but I think when you look at like people who like the bags that have the stamps all over, or the shoes with the logo all over it, like usually those are people who like a little bit more attention. So the same thing kind of with the watches. I think you're really getting this whole fashion aspect into watches that you didn't have a few years ago. So branding is more important now for these companies than it ever was before.
They're still wrong.
I don't agree with it. I'm just like, I'm throwing it out there as like a, maybe this is why.
Yeah. No, you're probably right. It's a bit like, I suppose it's a bit like the Prada customer, isn't it, who just wants a leather bag that's got a massive Prada logo on it so that folk know that it's a Prada bag, as opposed to the Chanel customer that buys that bag and you just know it's a Chanel without even seeing Chanel.
How about Hermes and their belts? They don't put like big emblems anywhere, do they?
No, not at all.
Never seen a big H or anything from Hermes. Never.
No, okay.
Never seen that.
And having watched the House of Gucci the other week there, yeah.
But I mean, Gigi. Why not? Like, that's what they're known for. I mean, I'm just now starting to get into like designer leather goods. Like, I really want like a really great bag because I'm trying not to buy watches anymore for a while at least. But so I have like, I bought a wallet, like my first designer wallet. And I love that the logo is right there. Like, there is a little bit of snobbiness to it, but like, I spent a lot of money on a wallet. So I kind of like that. Like, I don't need the logos all over it, but I do want it somewhere because I want people who know to know, like, if that makes sense.
You see, the thing for me, I think it's where brands like Hermes, where they really transcend and lift themselves above is they've managed to integrate their logo into design language, where that H is just part of belt buckles, parts of the bag, etc.
My favourite thing about Hermes is the fact that they managed to get product placement in Red Dwarf.
What is Red Dwarf?
That's a pretty niche joke, but yeah.
That went over everybody's head right there, didn't it?
I have no idea what that is.
Rimmer. It didn't go over my head. Hey, Rimmer.
Arnold J. Rimmer. There is no one slimmer. No, nope, okay, you guys don't watch Red Dwarf.
No, I've no idea what you're talking about.
I used to watch it religiously. I can't remember anything about it.
Rimmer had an H in his forehead.
It has an H in his forehead. It was a hologram.
I don't think this is an American thing.
You got it in America, but you tried to redo it as you do with everything and made an arse of it. I think The Office is the only thing you've managed to successfully recreate.
Yeah, and that's because you removed the main
character.
What is it called?
Red Dwarf?
Bell-end.
Red Dwarf.
Yeah, Red Dwarf.
It literally says it's a British science fiction comedy.
Yeah, which immediately means it's quality.
Yeah.
Which immediately means I'm not watching it.
No, the cat.
Sorry.
You still love the cat in it.
Oh, yeah.
The cat goes,
I'm going to have a little boo.
This is specific.
This is mad. This is mad. This is mad too.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear. Anyway, continuing the wrist check, 20 minutes in. Adrian, what are you wearing?
I was wearing my Hamilton khaki mechanical.
Yeah,
field
put that
watch,
down. We can see what you're wearing.
Which, I like how you're lying. On my
grey Bark and Jack NATO strip. But now I'm wearing my G-Shock, my John Mayer limited edition G-Shock.
Ah, which
really upset so many people. But I love it. I think it's killer.
What model's that?
No, it's John Mayer.
The Hidinki White, John Mayer.
Yeah, Hidinki
White. That is exactly the reason that they sold so well, because everyone went, John Mayer. That's the answer,
the fact
John
that
Mayer.
That didn't come out in the 5600 case broke my heart, because any other G-Shock case, to me, I just can't wear it. And I wanted the watch so bad because John Mayer, but yeah.
I mean, that is that's a prime example of how to take pretty much the most basic entry level product someone makes, stick John Mayer on it, triple the price, and sell them all.
We should do a Scottish Watches limited edition. It'll be a 6900 grey from Casio G-Shock. We'll call it the John Major.
Another niche joke there. Another like niche British political joke.
Let's see, these British people are going to get these fucking jokes, and she isn't. Well, I'm going to join you, because I am actually, and I didn't know ahead of time, but I am wearing my limited edition G-Shock 6900 series as well. The redout.
Nice.
35th
can
anniversary.
Can you read the clock? There are the time on that, honestly.
You can just see a little.
Wait, did you actually nearly say, can you read the clock on that?
Sure did.
The clock
sure
on that.
Did.
Excellent work. That might have come from a certain airport, didn't it, Ricky?
The reason I wore this today is because this was when me and Catelyn kind of first started to speak, and I was over in Amsterdam and I picked this up in the airport. It was hiding away at the back, and I sent you some pictures of it on Facebook because I don't think we were on WhatsApp at the time, and you said, oh right, okay, that's a statement piece of ever I've seen one. I thought, yeah, it's
sounds like
it's my first G-Shock, and I don't wear it enough, but it's lovely. And the problem I found with it as I pulled it out today, and then I pulled the watch out, is it's got that slight white, it's not what you think it is, it's got that slight white fluffiness to it that rubber sometimes get when it's in storage.
Yeah, it goes chalky.
Yeah, and it's not wrist cheese, because I actually do wash my watches and stuff, so it's not that at all. But no, that's what I'm wearing today. Aren't we glad we did the wrist check within the first half hour?
Success.
What shall we talk about now? Let me see. Should we attack Adrian? Because he's not been in the firing line for a while.
He really hasn't.
Let's go.
What's been going on?
He's been getting away scot-free for too long. So before you caught the COVID at the start of the year, what did you get up to last year? What were your sort of highlight videos of 2021?
Bet they had Rolex on the saddle. Thank you, Dave.
Highlight of... Oh, right. Vacheron Constantin sending me the Everest. That was probably my
highlight. I thought you were going to say that.
Yeah.
I like that he's literally on his YouTube page right now to figure this out.
Where do you think all the views come from? It's just me clicking on them all.
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right, kids, if you want your pocket money, press F5.
You know what? On a Mac, it's Command R, not F5.
Okay.
It would have been the Vacheron Everest Overseas. That's my ultimate grail. Well, the original one is my ultimate grail watch, because the one that they launched was slightly different. But that's absolutely killer watch, and a real treat as part of my watch journey to get hands-on with that sort of watch, because I'll never see it again. They're going for stupid money. Oh, the funny thing is, the original one was bought at auction for literally $5,000 more than what the last year's version was selling on Chrono 24. Yeah, so the original one sold for something stupid, like 79,000, whatever it was, currency. And now they're selling for double retail. So it's about 70,000 pounds, which it seems silly. The person who bought the original one, that must be worth huge amounts now, especially after the hype of all of Vacheron's getting at the moment. But yeah, that would have been a highlight.
So, Catelyn, what would your highlight of the last year be then? Apart from the new job.
I know. I'm the most annoying person in the world about it. No, I mean, I think aside from that...
Well, how did the job come about? Can you tell us the process?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, like I said, we've been pretty good friends with the guys from Norcate, with Caroline and Emmanuel, who run the team here in the US, and then Ben, the founder in Switzerland. We've had him on the podcast, so we've had a great relationship with them. And they're Roman Yossi, who is the captain of the Predators team, the hockey team here in Nashville. He's an ambassador. So, you know, when they come to town, if they get a game, like, they've invited Kat and I out several times. So, you know, we've had a really great relationship with them and a great friendship. And they had an event at our local AD here in October, I think. And it just started as a natural conversation, because I knew it was just the two of them here in the US. And I know how big the brand has gotten very quickly in the US. And then just turn into a job. We went to dinner that night. It created my job position. And yeah, there's no turning back. It felt really great because I typically question everything in my life. Like, I don't like change and I don't make big decisions easily. But this was the first time that I've not thought twice about it. Like, it was from the beginning, from the first conversation, it was, this is what I'm going to do. Leaving Omega, I had no doubts that that was what I wanted to do and pursue a completely different career. And it's just changed so much in my life. Like, I get to be home all the time now, which is great. Like, I get to spend a lot of time with Tyler. I feel like it's really impacted my personal life quite a bit and just things like that. And I get to travel a lot too, which is really awesome. I get to go to some really amazing events. I love it. I'm trying to think of like what the last year has been outside of the new job, but
well, that's good. Yeah. What you're doing, you love so much. What was it they say? If you do something you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
That seems,
I mean, some
true.
Days are work, but yeah.
Some days are work. Not today, obviously.
Some days are definitely work.
What those days where you have to take a picture and put it on Instagram, those days.
Y'all, taking wrist shots these days is hard. I don't know how to do it anymore. Yeah, I had to get dressed to do it. Like, I can't just wear a hoodie and pants. So
trousers for our British listeners.
No, these are leggings. I didn't even know if you call them trousers. You don't call, what do you call leggings?
Leggings.
Okay. Yeah. So hoodies and leggings. Do you call these hoodies or do you call them something weird? Like, the jumper thing is a whole weird situation. I don't understand it.
No, the only weird thing about this whole conversation is calling trousers pants. Pants are the things you wear to stop your genitals rubbing on your trousers.
We're not going to get into a whole conversation about...
See, I agree. I absolutely agree. But they're called underpants. So doesn't that then imply that they're worn under the pants?
Or they could be pants that are worn under something.
Yeah, but okay. Let's just put it into context.
Best watch podcast out there. We've talked about designer bags.
Adrian, all I'm going to say is this: fanny pack.
The most horrendous name.
I do
for
enjoy
anything.
Packing a good fanny.
But is a fanny pack the same thing in the UK as it is in the US?
No, we don't have fanny packs.
No,
like that.
You guys don't have fanny packs.
Yeah, no.
They've made like a really strong comeback. You guys don't have them.
We have the product. We don't have the name.
Oh,
we have said product.
They're called
a bum bag,
which is a much better.
I don't know what they were called these days. They were traditionally called bum bags. Bum bags are called because you would typically wear it behind you.
Who wears
You
guys wear it behind
you?
Who
wears it behind them? Typically, that's how you would wear it, yeah.
My mind is blown.
Are they not called belt bags now, maybe? Something like
they
that?
They are.
Probably a bit more PC.
That sounds like the more kind of PC thing they would call it. Yeah, I think bum bags and fanny packs are probably not really in the kind of PC world anymore.
I'm still sort of shaking my head that you've got a sports team called the Predators.
Sure do.
Yeah.
Sure do. Yeah.
I mean, you know, what's the youth program like there?
Stop. Y'all are the worst. The absolute worst. I miss Kat. Why is she not here?
I mean, can you imagine being a 12-year-old kid and going home to your parents and saying, I've been signed by the Predators?
Yeah, I'm playing with the Predators.
First of all, there's no ball in hockey, so...
Was it a hockey team?
It's a hockey team.
You're going to have to channel the other cat that is not here and tell us what she's been up to, because for the listeners that don't know, she got a new job as well in the watch industry. So fill us in on that.
Kat is a photographer now for Watchinista. So she's a full-time photographer, which is a lot of fun, but it means that we don't see each other very often anymore because one of us is usually out of town these days. But yeah, she's absolutely loving it. It's been really awesome. Like, as somebody who... Like, I remember when Kat got her camera. I remember when, you know, we took like a photography lesson from a friend of ours here in town, and just seeing like how she took that and like just ran with it. And her photography has gotten so incredibly good over the last, I mean, honestly, over the last couple of years, but especially in the last, like, her photography is just so good. And it's really awesome to see her be able to shine in that kind of outlet. So, yeah.
Did she go to the Indy 500 as one of her first gigs?
She did. Yeah, she got to go to the Indy 500. Not a bad gig.
That's pretty good going.
Not bad at all.
And obviously, the elephant in the room is the fact that you guys haven't had much time to do podcasting and stuff. Is that likely to come back? Or is it just a case of when time permits?
I think, honestly, it's a when time permits. We haven't made any real, like, long-term decisions about the podcast. It has nothing to do with, like, either Red Drop specifically. Like, I know some people are like, oh, like, making whatever their comments are. People think we broke up. It's a whole thing. The internet is a weird place. But it's just mostly like we don't have time. We don't see each other very often anymore. Yes, we could record like this remotely, but at the end of the day, the podcast was about like our friendship. You know, the podcast is what really brought us together, and you know, we're absolutely best friends. So like when I do get to see her, the last thing that either of us is thinking about is, oh, let's record a podcast. You know, so if we put out an episode once a month, we put out an episode once a month, and that's absolutely fine. I think no matter what, like the podcast has brought us such amazing opportunities. I wouldn't have my job. She wouldn't have her job if it weren't for the podcast. So, you know, we're both incredibly fortunate and so happy and so grateful for everything that it's brought us. And of course, we love our listeners and you know, we really love the support and the messages, but it's nice to just kind of like also just hang out with people and to hang out with Kat and not always have to record a podcast. So it'll get there when it gets there.
Yeah, of course. Well, that was one of the reasons that I was pushing to get us all back on a quick call, because I know how much energy, well, I know better than anybody how much energy is involved after you record something to actually put it all together. It's a long, long process. It takes many hours after the fact of recording, and bloody hell, Adrian, I mean, you know better than anybody, editing video is even harder because a 10-minute video takes a week of production, yeah. Planning, recording, editing, voiceovers, music, color grading. Audio is the same. I mean, I looked at one of the recent shows we did that had three people on it, and there was over 1,200 edit points just to cut out coughs, silences, gaps, ums and ahs. So yeah, it is a complete mad process.
It's like when you see someone do an activity and it looks simple. It looks simple mm-hmm. because they're just brilliant at doing that activity. And it's like editing. Every time I've spoken to you and said that was a really clean bit of audio or that sounded great, it's because you've put the hours in to make it sound great. It didn't record seamlessly. You've just made it sound seamlessly. But it's all down to the editing. It's like that stuff you captured in Dubai. You had some really impromptu conversations which came across far better, like the best captured podcasts in the industry, despite the fact it was still in the same setting. Now, I can't remember which one it was. But you mentioned that it was like a run and gun situation, but it didn't sound like it. It sounded like you guys were in a studio or a quiet room. And that's because of your editing ability, not to...
Thank you very much. Well, it was a tricky scenario because we were in a press area, but it almost had Japanese paper style partitioning walls.
Yeah, and there was no roofs on them. You know, it was a studio area, but it was almost like voting booths. You know, there was walls and a door, but no roof. And of course, the sound would, you know, migrate between them and such like. And yes, it did help to buffer the sound. But, you know, if someone was laughing next door, there was a lot. It was a noisy environment, maybe not as noisy as an open plan. But, you know, and I often say this, you know, all of the editing is done by Ricky. And, you know, that's a skill set that I'm sure I could learn it if I wanted to. But, you know, I'm really not that interested in it. And Ricky does enjoy doing it. He might not enjoy it all the time, but he does enjoy doing it. And he enjoys being as perfectionist as he can be when he does do it. You know, and that's what makes this podcast for me, you know, what it is. It's the content might be a bit, you know, off-piste and a bit funny and everything else, but the quality of the actual product is extremely good. In fact, mm-hmm. you know, arguably world class. Yeah. You know, the editing, the time, the equipment, the expense of the equipment that goes into actually making the final product. It's like a TV program, or you know, the way I often say it, TV program or music. It could be the best content, but if the actual recording is bad, you won't listen to it. If a song's recorded badly, it could be the best song in the world, but you won't listen to it. But you know, you have to have that kind of quality level built into it, and that's the bit that most folk don't see. Even you yourself, Adrian, you know, I remember when we went over to Red Bar Global in New York, you know, the entire flight you sat on your laptop editing, and the number of times where we did some, you know, you did some content or whatever, and we were all going, oh, let's get for some drinks or whatever, and you're like, no, I'm going to go back and do some editing. And
I just didn't want to hang out with you. I was just watching Netflix.
That's what it sounds like.
I know. I mean, to be fair, there, you know, Pornhub was blocked, exactly. You know, it's like, you know, you wanted to go back to that trendy little Airbnb that we were staying in.
Yeah, that's horrible.
That was premium. That was good find. Not.
We're talking about content creation. So, Adrian, you're the guy that spends the most on gear. So, what's come into the household in the last 6 months?
Oh man. I'm shooting on it. My Sony A7 Mark IV, which is, it doesn't feel as well built as the A7 S3, but as a workhorse, it is amazing. It's probably my first. I'm tempted to sell everything else and buy a couple more of those. I've bought just rig stuff. Oh, a new drone, which nearly crashed yesterday. I went to Callander. Aberfoyle, is that a place? I went somewhere up north.
Aberfoyle's a place.
I got the new DJI Mavic 2. I don't know what it is. It's the one with the Hasselblad camera.
That looks, it's one stage bigger than the Mavic 3. Mini, isn't it?
Yeah. So I took it out snowing. It was snowing yesterday. And I got a warning saying low visibility.
You took it out snowing.
It was snowing.
Good alliteration there.
And basically, snow got all over it, and it nearly crash landed. But the footage should be good. And then just rigs. I've bought loads of stands to help speed up recording processes. But to be honest, I just need a new studio. I'm looking for a place in Glasgow so I can have a bigger space, because I keep getting angry at the cables everywhere.
Well, I've been looking at a couple of things. I haven't bought it yet. Might put a deposit on it. The new Nikon Z9.
Oh yeah, that looks ridiculous.
I think it's 50 megapixel, 8K recording, unlimited time, doesn't overheat, really good quality, low noise, slightly better than the Sony A1, and I've got lots of Nikon glass, that may be an option. I was waiting for announcements on the GH6, which came out just the other day there, and it kind of looks a bit pathetic, a 5-year wait, there or thereabouts, and not really much of an improvement.
So, I'm just looking at the Nikon images online, they've got illuminated buttons. That sounds obvious, but I don't think anyone else has illuminated buttons. That's a game changer.
I think Canon do it on their Premier range.
Ah, right, so they're equivalent of this.
I think they used to do it in their 1D or whatever it used to be called.
Yeah, that's huge. But this is huge as well, to be fair.
But it's amazing what you can get for the money. I mean, that new Nikon camera is about $6,000 and it does everything. I'm still using a 10-year-old D800. I use it for HD video and I use it for all the pictures up here on our Instagram. And it still does amazingly well. But just for that 8K video, being able to crop in or zoom in or do extra macro work, that'll be fun. Well, let's talk about some watches. What has been your highlight release of the last year? And you're not allowed to say the Everest watch.
The Explorer 2. That's my pick. Rolex Explorer 2.
Is that a watch you used to have and then re-got?
Yeah, so I used to have one from the year 2000. So that was the 16570. So that was ancient. And the movement has quirks, let's say. If anyone else made it would be faults. But because it's Rolex, we can call them quirks.
Me what you mean.
When you moved the hour hand kind of wobbled about as if it was built out of jelly, whereas this one just snapped across. There was an issue with the date function. I'm going to get this wrong. There's an issue with something, a known fault. But Rolex rectified it around 2010 when they launched the 42mm version of the watch. It's the newer version, basically, of a watch, of my first watch, and I absolutely love it. It's not my favorite watch in my collection. That's still my Explorer, but this is my go-to. I've worn it every single day I've had it. It's amazing.
And if you didn't know there was a company called Rolex, what would your favorite release of the last year be?
My John Mayer G-Shock. Because it upset so many people. And all the comments were like, oh, you only bought it because it said John Mayer. God. No, I bought it because it's fucking good looking. Isn't that why we buy watches? Because they're good looking. I think, for me, everything else is secondary. It's like that Explorer with the quirks. It's a good looking watch. The fact it has quirks, it's all secondary. This is just, I was wanting a G-Shock. I nearly bought one of the grey 6500s. I can't remember which the color model it was, but I didn't like the emblem that was on the dial. It was a gray G-Shock with some weird stamp on the dial. Why are you doing that? And then this was launched, and I thought, shit, that's cool. I actually bought two of them. I was going to do a giveaway, but then one of my mates, actually the guy whose second name is Jack from Mark and Jack, he's not a watch guy. He likes his watches, but he's not into watches. He just randomly messaged me saying, what do you think of this? And it was the John Mayer watch. I thought, yeah, it's cool. He said, oh, no worries, it's sold out. Like, oh, man, I'm going to have to give you the second one that I bought, aren't I? So,
so were you actually waiting for it to come online so you could buy it? Because these things disappear super quick.
Oh, no, I was literally just on my phone checking my emails. I got this email coming saying, introducing, oh, no, you've been invited to buy or something. It was like a before it was launched, a couple of people were emailed, thousands of people were emailed to say this is happening. I thought, well, I don't know how much it was. I think it was like 180 quid or something. So I just bought a couple of them. I was like, that's exactly what I want, is a fun G-Shock. I love G-Shocks anyway. I didn't want a normal G-Shock because I kind of feel like that's the whole point of G-Shocks, is to have something different. It's like Swatch watches. You kind of want to go for the ones that are just different, the System 51s. And so that's why I like this one. It's different. There's never going to be another one like it. I'm sure thousands were sold, but still within the world of watches, it's fun and pretty cool.
Cool. Catelyn, excluding Norcane and Omega?
Excluding Norcane. excluding Norcane. Last year, the solar-powered Cartier, the tank. I really love that watch. I feel like it's an incredible price point. So it's a very reasonable watch, even for people who don't have a ton of a budget on anything. And just technologically, it's cool. I think there's so few ways now that people can... that watches can continue to update as far as technology, if we're being realistic. Like, there's only so much more that could happen, with the exception of things just being like, you know, full on digital or something like that. So the idea of solar power, I think it's really neat. I think it's very environmentally friendly, which I definitely have a little bit of a love for. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's a really cool piece. I still have yet to see one in person because they're never in stock anywhere you go. So, but I would love to see it in person. And I have a really big crush on Cartier lately anyway.
Yeah, so. Love Cartier.
So I spent so much time, I was recently in Vegas, spent so much time at the Cartier boutique. The problem is that there's so much and you think that everything is, it's almost the same, but it really isn't. So like there's probably, I think like 8 models that I'm kind of alternating between as far as if I ever were to get one. But
that's kind of like my view of IWC. They've got such a distinct design signature. It's like with Cartier, you can see a Cartier and like you can say, yeah, that's definitely Cartier. But with IWC, there's so many watches that I want that I kind of just have to buy them all. Otherwise, I just can't decide on which ones.
I can't even decide between Santos or a tank, if I'm being honest. Like I have no idea which I would go for. And then when you look at like, you know, a row of 5 different tanks, you think, oh, it's just a tank. How different could they all be? But they really are incredibly different. There's just those real subtle nuances that make it a completely different watch. So I have no idea. Yeah. I do still really want to see the solar powered at some point if anybody has it in stock. But I think that's definitely my favorite from last year.
I can confirm it's a cool watch.
Yeah.
Do you have it? Of course you have it.
Is it everything?
What don't you have?
Adrian. What are your predictions for Rolex this year?
I've literally just recorded my prediction video.
Don't worry, this will go after that, so you can tell us what you say.
Like all the clickbait.
Oh no, it's fine. It won't. But no, it's fine. My prediction is Nathalie's going to happen. I think they're really struggling. Everyone wants the Milgauss to be discontinued. No one actually cared about the Milgauss apart from the people who actually owed Milgauss, who are desperate for it to go up in value because it's not doing anything. I think it's going to be more precious metal watches because they make them in small productions. My hunch is that they're going to do something similar to the Rainbow Daytona, where they can get a huge amount of hype, a huge amount of publicity, but with the requirement of doing very little work. So they can make 4 or 5 of these watches a year, yet they get all of the publicity, all of the news, and still have that kind of poster boy watch or poster girl watch. That's my thoughts.
I agree. I think if they're going to do anything, it'll be in the novelties category. Because why? What would be the point of changing what ultimately is core line? Stainless steel sports. Why would you change anything? You can't get them. The waiting lists are as long as like your arm. And they've only just updated them. And they're not known for updating stuff on an annual basis by any stretch anyway. I think you're right. I think there'll be a few maybe interesting novelties pop up. And I think you're... calling it right on the precious metal, because the value of gold is absolutely through the roof at the moment. And, you know, that's where they can build profit in from themselves as well, because, you know, they will be able to price some of that precious metal stuff ludicrously high because of the value, and probably get away with it.
Catelyn, what are you thinking?
I think still won't be able to get one. I think no matter what, you're going to be disappointed. People put all these expectations on brands to do certain things, and it never happens. And then everybody's all upset about it. Precious metal. I don't see how they could continue to put out like crazy new models when they can't, to Adrian's point, when they can't produce what's already like in stock. So I feel like precious metal would probably be what they come out with.
Yeah. And opening it up wider to the whole of Watches and Wonders, all the brands are coming along, and all brands are going to have hotel lobbies nearby for people to visit. Anything you can think of from those brands that you'd like to see?
I want to see IWC launch the Ingenieur, or relaunch the Giro d'Argento Ingenieur. And my little thing at IWC is, if they don't do it this year, then my concern is they've missed the boat, and they're in a position to genuinely launch a legitimate entry into the sports integrated bracelet world and the Gerald Genta inspired. So many brands are trying to create that perfect Genta-esque integrated bracelet sports watch, and these guys have it in the back catalogue, and they have to do it.
Here's my take on that, though. That won't make an appearance at Watches and Wonders. I'm pretty convinced that it's coming, and I'm pretty convinced that that's up their sleeve. They are, if they've got any sense, it won't just be dumped in with the tidal wave of junk that will drop. You know, there'll be some peaches in there, and there'll be a whole lot of whatever's in there jumped. I think that'll be randomly dropped somewhere between probably quarter three and quarter four. And when they've got space and no one else is talking much about something, and it'll suddenly be like bang, and it'll come out of the blue, and everyone will be like, holy shit, yep, look at this. And that, you know, this year would be the year to do it, because there's a lot going on with, you know, Genta. Yeah, I reckon you're right. It has to come this year, because this year's got relevance to Genta. But I think they're going to time it right. And I think that brand has sussed out. One of the big things to come out of COVID and lockdowns and everything is that brands have finally learned that you don't have to shout about everything at the one go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And that, you know, the brands that are kind of bleeding stuff in, because, you know, the days of tell everyone what's coming for the next year within a week, and then everyone gets hyped up about it, you know, and then they can't get it for 9 months.
But also fighting for the limelight. Everyone's going to be looking at Patek, AP, VC, and Rolex, and Tudor.
Yeah.
And then if you're not part of that, then you're not going to get a look in. So yeah, you're right. They should do it separately from all of the big shows. Yeah.
And I think they will as well. I think brands are going to probably announce what they'll class as core product. Maybe that's coming over the next year. We'll all get announced at the show. And then a lot of these novelties and specials, they'll announce in their own right, as and when it's right. I think a lot of the brands have also learned that if you want to sell these things proactively and hard-hitting, you have to announce products available, products disappeared, products all sold. And that's kind of how you do it. A little bit like, you know,
or Christopher Ward.
Yeah, absolutely. Our CW. Or, you know, like the Girard Perregaux, the little re-edition that they did this week. You know, I know that some folk are like, it's a bit pricey, but, you know, it's a cool watch. They announced it, boom, all gone. It was available and they're gone. I think it's going to be more of a hybrid of how things are announced going forward from most brands, if they've got any sense. Rolex will be the one exception. They'll still just be, we'll tell you once a year, this is what's happening, and you'll love it or you'll hate it, and that'll be the end of the story. But they'll still sell all of them.
Well, your idea on the IWC Ingenieur Genta style, would that not be best coming out at an anniversary point? 40 years, 50 years plus? When did it actually launch, the original?
72.
So it came out the same year as the Royal Oak?
It'll be a year.
No, it was like the late 60s, right? The Ingenieur?
I thought it was a Nautilus.
No, because I'm quite positive that like that was when all the brands were doing their...
Oh, the original came out in 55.
It was later. It was much later in his career.
I think it's probably the mid to late 70s.
No, I've got it here. 1955 for the first Ingenieur. But that might not be the Gent engineer. Oh, yeah, that's around, yeah. Scrolling down.
A little bit of talk there about Gerald Genta. We obviously had our 300th episode with his wife, Evelyn, and daughter, Alexia. I was actually speaking to Alexia just the other day there, and obviously there's a lot of stuff going on with auctions and the like, and she is desperate to come back on for part two. So stay tuned for that episode, because we're still getting people talking about the first time they came on the show, and I'm pretty sure they'll have many, many more stories to tell for the second edition. But before we go, is there any last things that you guys want to say before you leave the listeners?
I know, I want to say, I want Citizen to get their act together and get the UK and Europe bringing in a lot of that stuff you only see in Japan.
Grand Citizen.
That's that for me, honestly, that's a brand that is a sleeping giant. Some of the stuff they do is absolutely exceptional. You know, the 0100 movement, the 0200 movement. They've got so many super cool premium pieces that just really don't see the light of day very much in the UK and Europe and really outside of Japan. And I want them to do more because I think they make some amazing product.
You guys mentioned Grand Citizen, didn't you? A couple of episodes ago. Yeah, I was shouting it at, yeah, I completely agree. I think that'd be killer. If they brought out a premium range, maybe not Grand Citizen, but in that vein.
No.
But I think that's an awesome idea because they have some insanely cool technology and that they have the money and power to do that. I think it'd be... Yeah, be killer.
The thing is as well, that's even more frustrating is they've actually got the product. It's not like they don't have the product. They absolutely have the product. You just can't get it outside of Japan. Right. You know, the brand new mechanical caliber, the caliber 0200, it's unbelievable. It's just such a cool watch. And it's a great looking integrated steel sports bracelet watch that just is, to me, just, if I could get one without having to jump through hoops to get it from Japan, I'd buy one tomorrow. I'd buy their super accurate 0100, you know, was it plus minus 1 second a year accuracy quartz. I'd buy one tomorrow if I could get one easily and know that the support was there if I actually needed it. Fantastic brand. I've got lots of Citizens and I love them, but yeah, they need to up their game for fear of, almost for me, and their premium level being left behind within the European market, you know. I think it's a fantastic brand with some fantastic stuff. I just love to see more of it out there.
Excellent. Well, if people want to find out more about where they can keep Catelyn in a job, where can you buy Norcane?
You can find Norcane on their website, which is norcain.com, and then also on Instagram.
Perfect. And we're going to have Ben from Norcane on the show in a couple of weeks' time. I've been chatting behind the scenes with him. And if people want to check out all the latest Rolex clickbait titles on YouTube, where should they go?
Fucking Jack. I'll just do YouTube. Rolex and I'll come up. Bark and Jack on everything. But really, if you search Rolex on YouTube, I'll come up.
Indeed. And what new products have you got out? Any new straps or coffee cups or anything like that?
I'm working on some cool straps. Coffee cups is the most enamel coffee cups. Barkandjack.com. And watch straps.
Is it real enamel? Is it real enamel?
This is the most legit enamel. They follow a 100-year-old process. It's all hand-painted. And this is like you can actually cook with this. Put this straight on a bonfire and cook stuff in it. It's legit.
Me and Dave are now, you know, experts on enameling because we spoke to Lewis Ann Ordain. So just wanted right, to make sure that, you know, Trade Descriptions Act and all that. But that's cool. And obviously you can catch up on what we're up to Mondays and Thursdays at Scottish Watches on Instagram, scottishwatches.co.uk. And if you get any ideas for what you should be talking about in future shows, drop us an email, info@scottishwatches.co.uk. So thanks a lot, guys, and we'll catch you again soon.
Cheers, guys.
Take care.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.